Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. During the show, you can join the conversation by calling 646-727-3206 or join the Transformation Cafe live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Okay. Thank you so much. Oh, I just love this guy. He's just so great. Well, welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. And as always, we're glad that you're here live. And if you're checking us out on demand, we thank you for that as well. Tonight we're going to have our guest chef, Mr. Jeff Radish. There we go. From CM School Supply. And I'll have him introduce himself in a couple minutes here. And we're going to see who our regular diners here is. We kind of scoot up to the table and grab something, a nice hot beverage. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Oh, Mr. Jamie is pretty good. Doing good.
Good. And how is Seattle, Washington tonight?
The sun is going down a lot quicker, and we got a little cloud, and it's a little chill in the air.
Yeah.
But not too bad.
Happy fall. Fall is officially here since
exactly.
The 22nd. I know. I think that's just so cool. We're getting a little chillier, and it's overall the weather patterns are definitely changing. So that's exciting. And for anybody who's listening in first time here, we welcome you again. And I'm Robin Misevich, one of the regular diners here as well. And I'm kind of hanging out here in Riverside, California. So we've got kind of the West Coast being represented tonight. So our guest chef, Mr. Jeff Radish, he is one of the owners of CM School Supply. And they have 5 locations in the Southern California area. And, Jeff, how are you?
Wow, fantastic. Good evening. This is actually the first time I've ever been on the radio like this. It's kind of exciting.
Well, good. You're doing great. You're doing great so far. I know it's going to be a fabulous show. So why don't you give a little bit of history about CM and maybe how you got into it?
Well, I actually have a background in restaurant service business, but my parents actually started the business about 40 years ago, and it's a family-run business still. Myself and my other 2 brothers run the business now. Both my parents retired. We have 5 retail locations, brick and mortar, in the Southern California area, in Anaheim, Upland, Long Beach, Riverside, and Temecula. We also have a presence on the internet, of course. We have a great website that, we're continually doing more and more business on every year. And we do a lot of community events for the public in the areas of our stores.
So, and one thing, if you're ever down in the Southern California area, he actually has people coming from other parts of Southern California, Central California, who actually will drive over to their stores to be able to it's such a focused location for educational stuff. And if you're a kid at heart, you walk in there and you automatically just want to get into everything and start playing with all the toys and learning activities and stuff like that they have there. So, yeah, it's very, very cool. One of the reasons I invited Jeff on was to talk a little bit about something new that they've been incorporating into their educational things that they offer, and that's with autism. And I thought that was a really interesting thing that you guys are doing and very important to the community since, I think it's 1 out of every 100 kids, at least, the odds that they're talking about that is kids with different levels of the autism. So I just thought that would be really cool to how you got into that a little bit and what you're finding, because one of the things that's really nice about the CM programs is they're actually providing a lot of different community opportunities for classes and seminars and things like that to help people get aware of it. Now, are those just basically for teachers, or do you have that open to just parents as well?
Well, no, they're open to parents and teachers, and a lot of students are coming that are actually getting their credentials in education. They've been a lot of because they get credits and everyone that attends that's actually a teacher or a student, we give them hours of education, so they earn that. But you know, we cater a lot to a lot of parents and actually grandparents now that are watching the children, because autism is more prevalent than more children. I think it's like 1 in 88, but I think it's even higher than that.
I think it is getting higher
More than 50% of those are males. So you, it's pretty unreal how there's so many parents that are coming in now saying, "Can you help our child? You know, he's not talking. You know, he's like 3 or 4, and he's just not interacting with us. What can we do?" So I mean, it's like a huge need, which we've seen in the community, and that's how we started these trainings and these classes with Cal State Fullerton, and they're actually, you know, bringing in professors and doctors that are actually putting on these workshops for the public.
That's awesome. I just think that's so awesome. I was doing a little bit of research before the show, and I love to go on TED.com because there's always just wonderful conversations on that. And they actually had a woman on there that I think she's in her maybe mid-50s, and she's had autism all of her life. And she was talking about how autistic people think in pictures.
Yeah, they're high-functioning, really. And they're gifted, so gifted, but you need to identify whatever their gift is, and then they're really brilliant children. You know, it's just sometimes people just they don't take the time to find the brilliance or whatever they're gifted at. You know, they actually want to take the kids and stigmatize them. So it's a huge need, which we found. So that's why we started these things up.
Yeah, one of the things that they were saying is Einstein, Tesla, and also Mozart, they were looking at the characteristics of their personalities, and they were saying that they basically were showing different signs of autism. So I think that's really interesting. When you're definitely talking about a level of brilliance, I thought that was very interesting to see that was something. I was kind of thinking about that too, and it's just like on a certain way I think in pictures. So I was like, oh, wow, because I thought that was kind of interesting because, it's just like the speaker was saying. She's like, you think everybody thinks that way, of course, because that's the way you think. So I just think it would be so beneficial to really to pretty much, the whole community to come from a new understanding of recognizing, that it isn't necessarily handicapped, but it's just looking from a different perspective in the way that they take information in. So that's something that I think would be really valuable just to the whole community. So how did you get into that?
Well, we were we've been searching for somebody to start doing workshops, and we had been ran into Dr. Karge and Roxanne Moore. They've been trained in teaching autism, and she's one of the professors at Cal State Fullerton, and she got a grant to actually start the program up. So we've been working with them to host the workshops in our stores. And it's been working out great. We get bigger and bigger groups of people coming in. We've got a really big following now. So it's been real, real positive for not just our stores, but for the university to have a platform where they can come and make these presentations to the public. So it's been great.
So is that something where you guys are making that's happening in Fullerton, or are you just basically taking it around to different areas in Southern California?
Well, they're doing workshops. I think they're in San Francisco this week, and then they're headed over to Vegas, and then they're headed back to our store to do another workshop. So they're doing them all over the U.S., and she's been asked to be one of the speakers at the World Forum or something like that. She's actually becoming real noticed out there as far as an expert or an authority in autism. So I don't know how much longer we're going to try to keep this going as long as we can in our stores and try to get the word out. But it's been one of the better things that we've started doing in our store. So
what kind of specialty products and things like that have you guys brought in to be assisting with that?
Well, there's a lot of sensory products that we carry now. they're very tactile. Every child is different. They all have different needs, and so there's quite a few different things that we do carry in our stores now that are geared for, you know, autism and ADHD, and we have, you know, whole sections in our store now, and we're carrying more and more items, you know, as they become available.
I also noticed you also do stuff with sign language. Have you guys always done that, or did you go ahead and bring that in on just a certain level for need?
We've always carried sign language. Now that's something that a lot of the private schools teach children when they're very, very young because they pick it up so early. But of course, there we have the School for the Deaf in Riverside, which is one of our biggest customers as far as for the sign language material. So that's, we've always carried those in our store.
Yeah, because it's even one of our local colleges, RC Riverside, they actually have it at the, you can actually get a degree in sign language, which is pretty cool. They consider that a next, you know, an additional language that you can add on, which I thought was really, really cool to do that. So, and I know that all the new moms, just seems that, you know, probably for the last 10, 15 years, all the kids know sign language before they, you know, do regular language.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind of like computers. Yeah, it's kind of like computers. You know, we were used to having the larger systems and stuff, and as technology picked up and things like that, just the same way the kids are being able to adapt and do different things. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we've got these kids that have learned the sign language. They're coming up, they're doing like symbols and stuff. So it's just like anything else. If you don't keep up, you're like, what? Another way that they can be communicating to one another, and we're all kind of out of the loop because we didn't get that kind of education when we were younger. So it's just interesting how, things advance and stuff like that. So what are the kind of special, like, I know you've got some special events and things like that, and you guys are very much supportive of a lot of different supportive things. You guys have a foundation for supporting kids as well. So tell us a little bit about that, too.
Well, we have an event that we're doing right now. It's the Backpacks for Kids. We're working with the Foundation for Kids and a radio station, which is a KSGN. It's a Christian radio station. We're collecting materials for, we're going to be giving away 1,000 backpacks next month to foster kids and kids that are underprivileged and kids that, you know, need materials still for school. There's a lot of children out there that, even in the public schools, they're not supplying materials like they used to for the teachers and for the students. So most of the parents are required to, you know, bring those materials now to school. And there's a lot of families right in the areas of Riverside and San Bernardino that do not have the money to pay for those things. So that's why we've been kind of having this drive, and we're going to be, you know, giving things away next month for 1,000 kids. And I think that's just going to be a big event that we're looking at doing that at the Tyler Mall. So I think that's going
to
be around.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. Yeah, that's just so neat to, you know, I can just imagine these kids just having a backpack with all the just stuff that they need, so they, you know, get excited about learning and just having the basics to be able to support themselves so they can, you know, be able to do stuff. That's very, very encouraging. So what else you guys going on?
Well, we have, quite a few other community events. We have we also do these things on Fridays. It's a story time in our store in Riverside. We usually bring in, you know, like the fire department or the police department, or we bring in, you know, a lot of community services to kind of do just some things for the children. Present, you know, they bring the fire engine in, or the police department will bring in some of their trained dogs, and they'll, you know, teach them things about the dogs. Then we have a magician coming up, you know, that we're having an act in October because it's Halloween. We have the magician going to be performing. Of course, we do things for Christmas. We have Santa come in. So we've always got, you know, certain events and things planned.
Yeah, last month was really interesting. You actually had a Native American that came in, and he had a story time. He was talking about just Native American stories. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, he was an artist and a storyteller. He kind of drew as he told stories. He was dressed up in the Native outfit, so it was good. Yeah, it was we had a big turnout for that. So that was a good.
Yeah.
We're always looking for people too to come in and do activities, in our stores. So.
So that's cool. And then this summer I was able to come in, and there was an instrument day, so the kids could get just the basics of some of the different instruments and stuff like that, so they could get excited about band. And that's such a good organization, being able to come from a level of coming into a group activity and being able to be a part of something bigger and just creating music. How wonderful can that be?
Yeah, that was a good event, too. We also had someone come in from the Nature Center. They brought in tarantulas and hissing cockroaches and
horny toads and snakes.
Yeah, that was a good event, too. That was very, very well attended.
I'm sure all the kids were going yay, and all the moms were like, ew, that's okay.
Well, all the kids got to hold all the insects and the creatures, so they were not afraid. It's funny. A lot of the kids were really brave, so they don't have that fear yet, you know.
Yeah. We've got a caller on here. Let's see who we have going on here. Hi, caller. I have 6309. How are you tonight?
Yes, I'm good.
Good. We have Mr. Jeff Radick from Seagun School Supply. Did you have any questions?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. And if you need anything, we'll be checking back with you. Thanks for coming in. So what other stuff to do, like when it comes to levels of, if you go to cemschoolsupply.com, like Jeff was saying, it's a wonderful website, all different kinds of things. It's really amazing the amount of different products and things you have available to that. So what kind of you must have just this amazing inventory when it comes to just the supplies and things like that for schools. So I know you even carry stuff for playgrounds and just all different kinds of stuff like that as well.
Yep. Well, we specialize in infant through sixth grade. And, of course, they changed the curriculum this year. It's a brand-new curriculum, so everybody's been coming in and asking questions about the Common Core curriculum. And, this is kind of like the experimental year, probably this year and next year. So they just adopted it. They changed from just, straight testing, learning to the test to, learning Common Core, and that is going to be critical thinking. It's going to be taking just an open ended question and have everybody answer it the way that they want to answer it. So it's everybody's kind of like trying to figure out how to teach the Common Core now. So it's been really busy because there's been a lot of people just coming in buying the new materials. It's been kind of nice.
So there's not one answer. It's basically people are just answering from what they sense is the right answer.
Yeah, they're going to be working in groups now, and they'll take an open-ended question. And of course, there's going to be a correct answer, but there'll be an answer that's close. And then they're going to be asking for the kids to, of course, come up with the reason or how they came up with the answer. So it's going to be a lot more thinking behind it rather than just guessing or actually just testing and coming up with one exact answer. So it's going to be a kind of like the pendulum is swinging back, more towards the, thematic learning or more of the, like open-ended learning rather than just a direct, just learning, to the test. So it's going to be a lot, I think it's going to be a lot better as far as, the public education system now. So.
Yeah, I think so too. That just sounds really exciting that everybody can come from whatever perspective they do have. And being able to, like you're saying, it's the critical thinking element to really having it where you're not just regurgitating what they want you to say. Everybody's coming from a level of their own perspective. Wow, I think that's really great. I can see why there would be a lot of confusion on that. So it's probably going to be a lot more work for the teachers when it comes to something like that, when it comes to levels. Like you said, there's going to be kind of the right answer, but moving in that direction for people to be looking from a certain perspective. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
especially having it on a level of measuring that. How do you measure if, and levels of success that comes to stuff like that? So I'm sure they got that all figured out. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And if not there, they're going to figure it out pretty quick here.
It's going to be a few years before they get it all down. So, yeah, it's good. I think it's a good change. So.
Yeah, it's going to be very good. So I know you guys have an extensive art supplies and things like that with you do. You want to talk a little bit about some of those different things that you have for kids. You've got some stuff that I was noticing the autism products. There was some stuff that was clay or something like that.
There's we have quite a few different types of clay. You know, there's magic sand. There's we have like about five or six different types of tactile clay that we carry, because every child likes a different type of sensitivity. You know, they have some kids don't like sand, so we have the magic sand. We have the clay that sometimes they like, you know, kneading the clay because it's very therapeutic. So. There's all kinds of different clay. We have tons of different painting devices. You know, there's different textured painting brushes and rollers and you can use just about anything now. You know, there's marble painting. You can do it that way. We have all kinds of different brushes. So, and we carry a huge selection of paint. You know, that from acrylic all the way up to fluorescent paint, and the prices are. Very, 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 very good, because of the schools, we sell to the schools, so we buy in bulk, so we sell. Our prices are very, very, very good pricing.
So what do you see for the future of education when it comes to, for just different kinds of tools and things like that you're noticing when you go to these trade shows and stuff like that, what seems to be kind of the cutting edge or moving into different new ways of having things out there for kids?
Oh, it's pretty amazing what they're doing electronically with the smart board, and then they have tables now that are electronic tables that you can do just about anything. It's almost like the Pac-Man tables that we used to have when we were kids, you know, or younger. Everything is electronic, so it's they still need to get back to being, you know, the tactile touching and you know, with even blocks, because you can do so much with blocks and you just sit and build and tell stories and. There's still a huge need for the manipulatives that we carry. So I don't see that going away. There's always going to be, you know, even cursive writing is a thing that kids don't even know how to do anymore. You know, it's a, so.
Yeah, I heard they weren't teaching that to kids anymore in school. They were taking away the cursive writing and all that.
Yeah, they are. They're changing it. They're kind of doing, you know, the modern cursive, or they call it the Danielian, or. They have different names for cursive now, but that's something that kids really need to practice. And we carry all kinds of cursive writing books, and we have the finger grips for the pencils that help them, you know, correct their grip and help them write better. Quite a few things that are out there that are available for parents. They just don't know.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, though, you know, like lots of times when it comes to levels of support and stuff like that, it's just always really good to go out there and see what there is for different kinds of products and stuff like that, because it's exciting on so many levels when it comes to stuff like that. I know when I go over to your store, or it's just really great to see so many things. It kind of brings out the kid in you, and you want to just get in there and start doing some research and check stuff out and just get your hands into some stuff and play. So that's always a good thing. I mean, you know, part of learning is just being able to feel encouraged to go, you know, get into something and have an experience with it. So it's really, really fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of things out there that are available for parents and grandparents, especially because they're the ones that, you know, are spending a lot of time with their grandkids, because the parents are always so busy, and they want materials that are going to help their children learn, and they like to take the time, you know, and work with them, you know, because they've got the time, a lot of the grandparents. So.
Well, I can just imagine having one of these electric, you know, tables you're talking about, electronic table where you can be drawing or doing other kinds of stuff. That just sounds amazing to have something like that available for a tool.
Yeah. I mean, just the smart boards are amazing. They use iPods now in the class to do all kinds of trainings and just the projectors and the it's amazing. If you walk into a new classroom today, you would be blown away at what technology there is in the class now.
So how early are kids actually getting laptops and things like that nowadays? Is it like first grade, second grade?
In the public schools, they're all different. In the private schools, a lot of the private schools, they require them by second grade. But in the public schools, I think it's probably like sixth grade, sometimes maybe fifth grade, but not any lower than that, I haven't seen, you know. So.
Yeah, because I have friends of mine with their kids are, I know, at least in junior high, and that all the kids are going to that notebook, so they basically can just get their books digitally and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see in the next, like, decade or so how that affects kids, but more importantly, how it's helping the environment, because we're just not going to need to have so many paper products. So I think that on whatever level is going to be going green on that level will be really, really cool to see that. And do you guys even sell the pens that are made from recycled plastic? Do you guys carry those?
Oh, yeah. We carry a lot of recycled products.
I just saw that the other day, and I thought, well, you know, I'm probably, like, late in the game when it comes to stuff like that, but I was really thrilled to see that where, you know, using the recycled stuff and stuff like that. How long have they had that out?
Oh, that was a big push probably about 4 years ago about going green.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
You know, all the districts were required to, you know, buy a certain percentage of items that were actually, you know, green products. And they're not pushing that as hard now because the products were all more expensive than, you know, of course, the regular products. But, I mean, it's still required, especially by, you know, of course, the government is requiring that still in a lot of the schools. But not as much. It's not as much as it used to be around 4 years ago when they started the push. So, but there is still quite a few things that are made out of recycled plastic and recycled wood and so.
Mm-hmm. Well, they still have the Lincoln Logs and all that kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they're not made out of the same product anymore.
Lincoln Logs aren't made out of wood anymore.
Well, it's all it's not the same product as it used to be. You know, everything's kind of like it's not as, I don't know, I don't think it's made as well, but it just doesn't have the same smell. You know, some of the crayons, they don't smell the same, it's still kind of the same, but not identical to the way it used to be.
Well, you know, that then every once in a while you go to some of these nostalgia stores where they have all the, you know, the Lincoln Logs, but I'm trying to think of that other one. It was the round disc, and then it had it where you could put all the sticks and stuff in it. What are those? Tinker Toys?
Tinker Toys. Yep.
They call them Fiddlesticks.
Now they're called Fiddlesticks.
I'm dating myself here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're plastic now, huh? Okay, because they used to be out of wood.
Yeah, a lot of them, they stopped making them out of wood because they splinter, and then the kids were getting hurt with them, stuff like that, so.
Okay, yeah. Well, I never knew anybody who did that, but, I mean, you know, how rational are we going to get here? So on the average, how many different books do you guys carry? I know you carry, like, storybooks and things like that. Do you guys carry all that?
Yeah, we carry the best sellers. We don't carry the volume of we used to have huge libraries in our stores, but of course, you know, with Amazon and Barnes and Noble and all the other bookstores, you know, the books were being bought online and whatnot. So we carry a lot of special needs books. We carry multicultural books, things about families around the world, those kind of things. So they're specialty books that they would be using maybe in the preschools or some of the public schools, but not too many. Mainly in the preschools, we carry those kind of books. So
with that kind of thing, do you guys have available where they can actually do an e-book?
We've been looking into doing that.
Well, you know, that's just where all the technology is going. So it's something like that with things like that too. And kind of going back to the autism and things like that, are you guys making those kind of presentations and things like you do where they could be recorded presentations where people could go ahead and download those as well?
Yeah, we've been recording them and we've been trying to get some video of the speakers and we have to, of course, we're having that done by a video company. So, yeah, and then we have to get permission from, of course, the presenter. And they're trying to
use
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's something people could look forward to in the future. So, like I said, well, we're down to our last, like, about minute and a half. Is there anything special you want to know for, Jeff works out of the Temecula and Riverside store. And, like I said, if you go to cmschoolsupply.com, they all have all the locations and just a vast catalog online that you can actually order online and be able to. What is the usual turnaround time if you go ahead and order something from you guys?
Well, it depends, of course, where you are located. But we usually try to ship out within, 2 days if they place an order online.
So it's usually within a week you can get the product kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Or within 2 days.
Okay, great. Well, Sam School Supply, it's the place to go for any kind of your educational needs. They also carry office supplies and things like that, too. And very much a part of the community and supporting lots of things. And the most important thing is making sure these kids are happy, healthy, and excited about learning. So thank you so much, Jeff. And we'll see you here next time at the Transformation Cafe.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Okay.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.